Well, good morning, everyone. So, just a second ago, I was, Chase just mentioned to me, my first Sunday where I get to preach coincides with a No Children's Church, so I'm just breaking it in real quick. Now, no, but in all seriousness, whenever I was asked if I would come up here on August 31st, I was given quite a heads up. I was very excited for it, and I still am excited to be here. But I didn't know I was going to have to follow up after a sermon from Ronnie. You think a young, energetic guy will bring the enthusiasm and stuff, but I don't think I can match his energy, so we'll do my best. Lucky for everyone, though, my family's always the last to leave, so I'm in no hurry. It's my first sermon. I got a long agenda of things to cover, so get comfortable, please. No. Now, I'm sure everyone's heard of the expression, building bridges, and oftentimes that might have been a sermon title, perhaps. Just a common phrase, and also the idea of the old mentoring to the young, the older generation inspiring the younger generation to thrive so that the church can stay alive. Well, today, I want to take that a slight step further. I want to talk about creating true multi-generational friendships and connections, and there's a few main points that I'll tie into this idea. So the first point is the need for connection. Now, throughout the week, I was kind of brainstorming ideas, and I was talking to my dad about this, and one of the things that came up is something that he told me something that my grandpa used to say. He told me that my grandpa had a phrase saying that everyone within a church family should have at least 5 good friends. Now, for any engineers or more mathematically inclined people, don't ask me the formula he got that number from. I'm not going to be able to tell you, but the point isn't the number 5. The point is the need for good friends. That's what I'm trying to point out, and that's within the church family. Not just acquaintances, but real friendships. For these friendships, you need to be able to be around others and to interact. And it's often hard if you're being the last to arrive and the first to leave. It takes time and it takes commitment. I mentioned acquaintances just a second ago. And it may start as acquaintances. Many friendships do. Perhaps it's through a common friend, perhaps through a coworker, through a friend at school. Oftentimes, it'll start as a friendship, as an acquaintance. But you need intentionality, and you must work for it to grow it from there. You cannot be satisfied at merely having acquaintances. In Season 2, Episode 2, we've been watching The Chosen on Wednesday nights, as many other classes have. In one of the episodes, you won't find this in the Bible, they added it in here, but it's a good point that Jesus makes in the Chosen. And he says that if we don't make time for friends, we won't have any. And so, just this morning, I'm throwing a little audible from what I had planned, but we were going over Colossians in our young adults class. And Max Lucado always writes an inspiration part, which is why he wrote what he wrote in his lesson. And the idea, we were talking about love, and love in terms of a spouse or a parent to a child, and us as our loving our Heavenly Father. And it connected to, he started out in the inspiration saying how at home he had to eat everything. And his mom said, whatever's on the table, you got to eat, in which why he loved going to cafeterias, because you can get whatever you want. Well, he said, wouldn't it be great if love were like a cafeteria line? It would be easier, it would be neater, it would be painless and peaceful, but you know what? It wouldn't be love. Love doesn't just accept a few things. Love is willing to accept all things. This is talking about love, and I'm mainly talking about friendship today, which love is tied in with. But in a friendship, you can't nitpick the character traits and the positive traits that you want to be friends with. You have to learn to adapt and to coexist with everyone. And so, also connecting to the church family, I'm trying to focus today on the idea of multi-generational friendships, not only approaching people from your similar life experiences, but who've had life experiences of all kinds. But not only that, as it connects to a church family, it's also very important to approach new members and visitors to create these friendships. Just put yourself in their shoes. Many of you may remember when you first started coming to church, to this church, to another church family. It's hard creating friendships. when you look around and you see friend groups and you see lunch groups and you don't know who to approach. And so I call you to take the first step in approaching them. I know we have designated greeters outside, and that's fantastic that people volunteer their time to commit to those new connections and those new friendships. However, if we all do our part in making others feel welcomed, we're all greeters in a sense. This brings me to my first scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 and 26. It says, I'm going to turn around because the font is a bit small there. As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, everyone here has a purpose in God's church and in God's kingdom. No matter of your life experiences, of your level of knowledge, where you're at financially, professionally, it does not matter. We all have a part in God's kingdom. And if we're all meant to be part of God's kingdom, we're also meant to all be part of each other's lives within this church. We have to create the connections. And this brings me to my second point. And that is that these multi-generational connections and these friendships are the pathway to ultimate discipleship. And I'll give y'all a second if you want to. I know the font, I made it a bit too small, so if you want to turn with me in the Bible to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, if anyone wants to follow along, if they can't see there, I'll give a second. So it says, and let us consider how we spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So discipleship, it's important to note that it starts within the church. The church must be connected and must be in a discipleship mood to go out into the community around it. It's hard if the church is not connected and have their mind set on discipleship. So discipleship has to always start within the church. And that's why it's also important for us, on a side note, that if we have this one day of the week where we have designated to join together and in communion and in worship, it's important that we strive all our best to be here. Now, I say this because online streaming nowadays is a fantastic tool if circumstances arrive that don't allow for someone to be here. But if circumstances are favorable, I urge you to not let it become a permanent solution, but make an effort to be here in person and connect with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. As Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. So I say encourage one another in the ministry of God and in discipleship. Encouragement comes through, this is where the multi-generational idea of friendships comes in handy, because many people will have been there when you have not. And if you build true friendships, not only through a mentoring sense, and those friendships will occur to mentoring. I have plenty of friendships where I look up to people, and those are fantastic, and that's the value of it. But I see them more as friends than as mentors, and that is the importance of the point I'm trying to make. So encourage one another in the ministry of God and in discipleship. Learn and combine your positive traits. In all friendships and all these connections you have, everyone can bring something new to the table. There's always something that you may be lacking that someone has and that you have that someone else is lacking, and that's the beautiful part about ministry when it's united, is that we can feed off of each other's strengths. So whether that be the fruits of the Spirit that we have within us through the Holy Spirit, or gifts that God has given us. We all have different gifts. Many times it's the gift of communication. You're able to, like Jeremy was saying, there's no stranger to you. Perhaps It is the gift of service. You love serving. There's many gifts, and if you combine those together, you can truly disciple. And lastly, and on one more note when mentioning discipleship, through discipleship and through multi-generational discipleship, if you go out together, just like Jesus called his disciples to go two by two, you don't go alone, you're not solid, you're not hiding yourself away to disciple on your own, but you go with help and with support, then you can reach almost anyone, because at some point, someone in this church will be able to relate to someone on the outside, where you alone may not be able to. My third big point, as we get to the third big idea, is that the outside eye will recognize this deep connection. So, once again, if you want to take a second and follow along on Acts chapter 2, verse 43 and 47, we'll read Paul's words about this. In Acts chapter 2, starting verse 43, Paul says, "Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts." And that's a big point I'll be getting back to in a bit. "They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts." They had glad and sincere hearts. It wasn't out of a necessity or out of feeling pressured to, but they were joyful in what they were doing together, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And for this, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, Paul, in Acts chapter 2, he's mentioning the early church, the first century church, which is a church that we oftentimes try to model. And here, the apostle signs, combined with all the believers being united, their charity, their compassion, and joyfulness are all that led to those numbers increasing daily, the numbers of believers, the number of new Christians joining God's kingdom. They were not drawn, these new family members of the church were not drawn merely by entertainment. They weren't drawn because, oh, they were handing out gift cards, so they thought they'd go over there, or that they weren't drawn also by personal feelings towards those people. Rather, they were drawn by their unity. It's the Christians of that early church being united and gathering daily, and the apostles' signs in their unity that led people to want to know more about this way of life. We may not always have outside interests in common. Someone may not cheer for the right football team now that college football is starting back up, and I know that can get tense. Sometimes we don't all like the same Mexican restaurant for lunch after church. There's a lot of things that we don't have in common, but we are united in Christ, and that commonality is what should stand out to others. Not the fine print, but the main idea that we're united by Christ. Jesus also calls us to be the light and the salt of the world, which is all about the outside eye recognizing that we're the light and the salt. While I was just researching and brainstorming ideas, I found an interesting phrase. I can't find the origin of it, so I can't tell you that. If you want to look it up later, you can. It says that, and it relates to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 and 16, when Jesus talks about us being the light of the world. This phrase is that one candle lights a room, but a community of candles lights the city. I'll say one more time because I forgot to put this on the board. I wish I'd found it earlier. One candle lights a room, but a community of candles lights a city. Now, what this phrase stands for and the meaning that I draw from it and why I included it in this is that strong friendships within the church help us reflect the light together, creating brighter witnesses of us to others. And there will be plenty of times when you're alone and there are no Christians around you, and you're called to light the room. Just like I said, a single light can light the room, and you're still called to that. But when you have this fellowship and this companionship, the power that Christ has through you as his disciples is huge, and you can light a lot of areas where you might not think it possible, but don't underestimate God's power through you. Also, we talked, so he called us to be the light of the world, but he also called us to be the salt. Like salt, it must be in contact with what it's meant to be affecting. And when it was used to preserve meat, it was laid on the meat. When it's used for its flavor, it was sprinkled on the food. It has to be in contact. Just like that, we have to be in contact with those that we're trying to affect. We won't affect and won't be able to draw new people to Christ if we're not having contact with them, if we're hiding within our church building in this comfort that we have here. So if we're disconnected and isolated, we can eventually become like salt that has lost its taste, as is said in Matthew chapter 5:13, which is no good but to be thrown in the street and trampled on. Now, final word is that in all of this, when I talk about friendships and connections, it's easier said than done, and I understand that. It's not a very comfortable feeling many times approaching someone new. There is, like I said earlier, there's risks and vulnerability that comes with that. You have to trust that person, and that's often hard, maybe due to past friendships. But don't underestimate the power of prayer. That is the most important tool we have in creating these friendships. Like in our 40 days of prayer, which is starting tomorrow, by the way, and I didn't see them earlier, but there were these pamphlets. They kind of look, I believe they're blue, and they kind of look like this, and inside them they have the daily prayers for these 40 days. So if you didn't see them there, feel free to ask me or someone or one of the elders. I'm sure someone can direct you to where you can get a pamphlet if they don't have any up there. But just like in this 40 days of prayer, we're going to be joining for a specific reason in prayer. We're praying for a new minister search process and that the Holy Spirit can lead us through that. Well, just like we're being specific in this prayer, in this 40 days of prayer, you must also be specific in prayer regarding your friendships and your connections that you're trying to build. So pray for patience, pray for compassion, pray for meaningfulness, that what you are doing to build these friendships and these connections has a meaning beyond just your personal desire, beyond, it makes you feel better. No, but pray that it has meaning to impact others around you. And those are all important characteristics, the patience, compassion, meaningfulness, many more besides just those, to create and hold on to these connections. And pray, most of all, like I just mentioned a second ago, that these friendships can be impactful to those around you. Lastly, pray to be the light and the salt of the world. So, and if a new member, for example, if a new member shows up, and you're uncomfortable approaching them because they're of a different age group, so you think you might not relate to them too well. Perhaps it's a young adult, or perhaps it's an elderly person who, and you're a young adult, who you don't feel comfortable approaching them because I don't have the level of knowledge they do. I don't feel comfortable like I could hold a good conversation with them. Well, perhaps this is God answering your prayer with an opportunity. If you pray for patience, he'll give you a chance to be patient. Just like if you pray for friendship and these characteristics, he'll give that chance to you, but you have to take the first step. So always be on the lookout for that. Now, I encourage, and just closing today, I encourage and I even challenge you that throughout this week, you try to start a new connection, preferably with someone who has different backgrounds, different age group, different customs, or different family lifestyle. Just try to interact with a new friendship. Perhaps it's someone here at the church that you've never had lunch with. Ask them out to go to lunch. Perhaps it's a coworker or a friend at school who is not currently a follower of Christ. Well, start a connection. Like I said, many times it's an acquaintance. Start and build from there. And so I encourage that as you go out throughout this week, attempt that and don't shy away from the power that God has to commit people to Christ through you. Now, we're all connected by Christ and by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for our sins. So let that be the driving force that takes you through these building these friendships and these connections. Lastly, before I leave here, I'd like to say that if anyone has any prayer requests, if perhaps this is something you're struggling with and you have a prayer, you'd like to request prayers for it, anything that may be troubling you, and also, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, our baptistry is here and it's available to you. We have elders who will be out in the front and they will gladly accept you. And so I urge that if anyone has anything that they'd like to request, please come forward. Thank you.